Good afternoon. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some work we've been doing on developing an outcome measure for friends, relatives and neighbours that are caring for somebody due to their old age, ill health or disability. So basically the structure of what I'm going to talk about is I'll just give you a quick overview of the evolution of two different but related carers' outcome measures from their origin in survey development, and then I'll just outline the differences between the two and different applications of them. And then I'm going to hand you over to Stacey, who's going to talk about the development of the Ascot Care Int 4. So the evolution of the carers' outcome measure originated when we were some colleagues were developing the Kent Carers Survey, and the development had four stages. So after reviewing the existing research literature, they looked at outcome domains, and actually Nick was involved in this work, using focus groups with carers, focusing on adult carers and also care managers. And so they were looking at what kinds of aspects of quality of life were important to carers, and also they looked at some service quality questions as well. Then they designed the survey questions, and so of course it was a very bottom-up process, very carer-led approach to looking at what outcome measures are important. And then they did some cognitive testing with some more carers to test the questions. And on the left here, there's some domains that Anne-Marie touched on earlier. And at the time of this development, the Ascot domains were also still very much in their infancy. And we used the SAGE user domains because they're related to social care, and used them as a structure on which to undertake these focus groups. And so, as you can see, there is some similarities mapping across in these top four domains. But obviously things like food and drink, personal cleanliness and comfort aren't so appropriate for carers. They're able to take care of their own needs. Although there was a similar kind of thing going on about having the time to look after themselves properly and to eat properly. So we kind of merged these two to become a self-care domain there. And then accommodation, cleanliness and comfort, not so relevant, particularly if the carer's not living with the person that they're looking after, and equally dignity, not so much. And then two sort of carer-specific domains emerged from the qualitative data, and that was time and space to be oneself, and encouragement and support in the caring role. And so time and space, although it does have some overlaps with occupation, because, you know, you kind of think, oh, time to do what I want, it was actually qualitatively different when we were really talking about it in cognitive interviews. Carers would describe time and space, it was more about having time just to be oneself and to not have the mantle of the carer's role for half an hour or however much they could squeeze in. So, I'll move on to the next slide. So, when the measure was being evolved for this survey, rather than the three levels that Anne-Marie talked about earlier, where there were no needs, some needs, and high needs, and then the ideal state at the top, we actually missed out this sort of second level here for carers, in the hope that they would have more freedom to have this ideal state. And so we missed out a level, but actually that's something that's been reinstated in the later version. So I'll get to showing you some differences. We did some psychometric testing. I think I'll skip over all this detail because we're probably a little short on time. Okay, so now we've got to the differences, which is the main part. So the outcome measure that's used in the surveys is actually quite a little bit different. That's like both measures have originated from this development work that colleagues did for the Kent Carers Survey. But the measure that's used in the surveys is obviously collected by self-completion, whereas what Stace is going to talk about is a measure that's collected by an interview. It's needed to be collected by interview because it measures the current state and expected state. And of course, that's a very different thing, difficult thing to ask people via a self-completion questionnaire. It's only got six domains in the end because time and space, because of its sort of slight overlap with occupation and because of pressure about survey length, was actually only a voluntary question, so it wasn't collected consistently. So the carer scroll usually is calculated on just six domains. And of course, I just talked about the three levels instead of four levels, which is common for the ASCOT tools. And so I think I'll hand over now to Stacey to tell you more about the ASCOT Carer Int 4.
Thank you very much, Diane. I'm just going to grab some water quickly. Okay, so I'm now going to talk a little bit about the development of the ASCOT Carer interview, or the Int 4. This came about as a piece of work to do with a study called Identifying the Impact of Social Care. And as part of this, we were looking at the ASCOT tool for users of long-term care services, but we also wanted to collect information on informal carers as well. And as part of this study, we wanted to take the INT4 methodology, which Anne-Marie talked a bit about earlier, and see whether that also worked for carers. So taking the seven domains of quality of life that Diane just presented and trying to see if this approach of asking people about their current quality of life and their expected quality of life to get an estimate of the gain of services could work in informal carers. This work started back in 2012. We started off by doing a review of the literature to look at factors of, that affect quality of life in carers, and we also looked at all of the previous development work that had been done and drew that together. From that, we developed some survey questions, which were then cognitively tested with 31 adult carers. And these were carers of people who were using community-based social care. And that was across three local authorities in England. So as has been mentioned before, with the original measure, these just asked the questions about the current quality of life. So this example here comes from the occupation domain. Adding to that, we added two further questions. There's what we call the filter question, and this is really trying to get at whether quality of life is affected by long-term care services in that particular domain. And the third question is the expected quality of life question, and you can see the example here. What we do there is we ask the carer to imagine that the long-term care support that they had at the moment was no longer available, and that no other help would step in. And in that situation, to rate their quality of life in that particular domain. And again, as has been mentioned, we took the three level responses and added in no needs. This was partly to try and bring the measure back to the ASCOT Int 4 for users of long-term care services. And so for the domains that overlap, so occupation, social participation, the wording does overlap almost completely. But we also took the carer-specific domains like time and space to be myself and encouragement and support and developed a fourth-level response for no needs. And that was really, as Anne-Marie mentioned, to distinguish between a state where preferences are completely met and a situation where it's more that it's okay and we mustn't grumble about it. I'd like to just focus a little bit on the cognitive testing of the expected situation questions and just to draw out some of the findings. What we found was that carers were able to answer these questions, but that a key element that really helped them to understand the question was defining what we meant by support and services. This testing was obviously happening in England, and in that particular context, defining long-term care isn't always straightforward. You find that care is provided by many different organisations and agencies, that there's overlap with other public services. What we also found was in the original testing, we'd wanted to try and look at the impact of services for carers separately from services for service users. So we did try some testing with carers and asked them to say what services were meeting their needs as a carer and which services were meeting the needs of the person that they cared for. And what we actually found was it was really difficult for carers to categorise services in that way, perhaps unsurprisingly, because their needs, there was much overlap, and, for example, a carer's support group could quite easily be said to be meeting a carer's need, but something like home care, it could be, you know, helping the cared for person, but as much giving the carer a break and some time to be themselves. So in the end, in the definition of support and services in the version that we used in the IASC study, we asked them to consider all services, both those received directly from themselves and for the person that they look after. One of the other things that we really wanted to delve into, as Anne-Marie mentioned, is this question of how cognitively demanding these questions are. Do carers really understand what's being asked? So we did quite a lot of careful testing around this. And actually we found that as long as support and services are clearly defined in the interview, that there's a set of questions at the beginning that ask carers exactly what services are being received, and the interviewer then uses that to develop a definition of what should and shouldn't be included in the expected situation questions, that the responses were clear, that carers understood what was being asked, and they were able to give a good justification of why they'd rated their quality of life. And I've given an example here on the slide. This relates to the domain time and space to be myself. As Diane mentioned, this is the domain where it's really asking whether carers are able to be away from the carer's role for a period of time. And this particular carer said, yes, support and services did affect that domain. And when probed why, they were able to say that home care supports actually meant that they were able to leave the house, and not just physically leave the house, but to mentally step away from the carer role for a while. And that if that support wasn't there, then that simply wouldn't be a possibility for them. Finally, just touching on another issue around the expected situation questions. These can potentially be quite sensitive because you're asking people to imagine a situation where they're not getting the support that they are at the moment. And this is something that we certainly found during the testing, particularly in instances where the carers had experienced the withdrawal of services, reduction of services, and in one or two cases where services had been replaced and the new services weren't meeting their needs or the cared for person's needs, as well as the previous care. Another thing that we found as an area of sensitivity was if people had experienced recently providing substantial care without any formal care involvement. But also, alongside that, people who'd had that recent experience were able to really understand the expected situation questions. So I've put two quotes here from the carers, and when I was asking the expected situation question, they were actually thinking back to that experience they'd had, and when they were rating their expected quality of life, and they were drawing on those experiences and could quite confidently say what their quality of life had been like based on those experiences. So from this development work, we now have a seven-domain carer quality of life measure, the ASCOT Carer Int 4, with four response options, which measures the current quality of life, the expected quality of life, and the difference between these gives an estimate of the gain or the impact of services. So where do we want to go from here? Well, I've been talking about the development work, which started in 2012. Since then, we've piloted the questionnaire and we've been collecting more information from carers in England. And we've now got a data set with 387 completed interviews, which we've been using to look more at the psychometrics, particularly construct validity of the measure. And that's something that will hopefully be published before too long. We're also wanting to develop preference weights for the carer version. And perhaps interestingly, there's also this question of mapping between the ASCOT for service users and the ASCOT carer. Particularly, there's domains that overlap completely. We've got some different domains, but starting to see if we can bring those two measures together and look at the wider impact of social care on quality of life. Okay. And here's just some more information, contact details, and, of course, the disclaimer. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey and Diane. So has anyone got any quick questions? Is Elena?
Really quick about accommodation cleanliness and comfort for carers. Could you a bit elaborate on that, why you thought it's not relevant? Have you talked to carers? Because I would think that it should be important. If I don't have time to clean up my own house, I may feel awful.
I can speak a bit from my experience, but I don't know, Diane, if you, if you've got anything that you'd like to add, because I know you were involved in the earlier work.
Yeah, I think what it was we had to narrow it down to a limited number of outcome domains, and so that sort of went down the priority list of the carers that were taking part in the early development works, the focus groups. Yeah, I think there were other priorities in their mind. But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, from the testing that I did, actually, there was, because we did talk, I did talk with the carers, we did some kind of semi-structured aspect of the interview to talk more broadly about other things that maybe haven't been picked up. And that actually wasn't something that came up. But just talking very briefly about the self-care domain, and that does actually capture and include the personal cleanliness. So there were a couple of carers that I spoke to who did talk about and included in that domain not having the time to be able to shower or to go out and buy clothes and this kind of thing. So there are overlaps there.
Yeah, one more.
Yes. I find it very, very interesting. I think it's like a pioneer research. And my question is, first of all, does it mean that from the legal point of view, there are some benefits or services dedicated exclusively for carers now? Mm-hmm. This is the first. And the second question, have you noticed any difference between caregiver of children
adults? Yeah, both interesting questions. Sorry, I should have just talked a little bit about the English context. But in England, there are kind of provided a number of services that are directly targeted at carers. So there's quite a few sort of regional or even national organisations that provide things like carers support groups. They provide sort of day trips and social opportunities for carers. There's things like training for carers so that they know how to kind of lift and do certain kind of aspects of the caring task. So that is something that's kind of very much there and was included in the testing that we did. And perhaps I should have mentioned as well, the work that we've been doing has mainly been, or entirely been, sorry, on adult carers, caring for adults. So this hasn't really been tested on... Yeah. Exactly, yeah, I'm sure there must be differences. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, last one.
Okay. I'm Hong Yi from Zhejiang University, mainland China. In your presentation, you just mentioned the sensitive analysis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you please explain how to evaluate the sensitive?
Okay, and I was aware when I used that word sensitivity, I'm not talking in terms of statistical sensitivity, it's more how emotive the question can be. So with these particular questions, you're asking someone to imagine a situation that they don't have support, and that obviously could be quite upsetting for some people. I mean, I'm just thinking back to some of the interviews. There was a parent carer of an adult with learning disabilities, and they had a class that they'd go to 3 times a week, and that was such a lifeline for that carer. When you asked her to imagine life without that, that was actually quite potentially upsetting question. And so that's what we were noting there, that these questions, you do have to be aware that it can be sensitive. So, okay.
Thank you very much.